Hey everyone, welcome to Five More Minutes, the show where two friends relive their childhoods, or in some cases, learn about everything they missed out on. I'm Kendra.
And I'm Scott.
Hell yeah.
What are you up to over there?
I was trying to find like jokes, and then I was searching coffee jokes because I like coffee, but they're all kind of lame and like unoriginal.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other day I was talking about shoes and coffee, and it was before class started. And it's my 12-person class, so it's always kind of like class never starts. And I was telling them how I should just quit and have a coffee shop that sells shoes. And then I was like, what could I name that? And then one of my students was like, Soul Coffee. And I was like, oh, that's actually a really good name. Like Soul, though, like.
Well, like, no shit.
Like Soul, you know?
No. Yeah.
Also, if anyone wants to buy these and you wear a size, five men's.
Small feet people out here?
Yeah, where all you small feet bitches at.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually like the. Insole is like really soft.
That's good.
Yeah, like I don't know. Comfy. I don't know what it's made out of, but it's like plush. Yeah. Plushy. Anyways, these are denim.
Denim for your denim for your Canadian tuxedo.
So I oh god dang it. Hold on.
Oh no.
Knocked over my trash.
Disc.
I uploaded the foam posits and I did like buy it now for 60, but also I did a bid for those ones.
Oh.
And they have more views than those Air Maxes do. And someone bid like $21 on them. I figured since they are free, it doesn't really matter how much I sell them for.
Yeah.
And they're pretty beat up, so.
Yeah, get what you get.
But if those were in good condition, those go for a lot.
Yeah,
but like none of the extra swooshes are there. It's an incorrect box.
I have some stupid Dungeons and Dragons jokes.
Okay.
What's a beholder's favorite food?
Does it have to do with eyes?
Maybe.
Ice cream.
It was actually
nice. I thought really hard about that one.
How do you get a D&D player to go out with you?
I don't know.
You ask them for a D8. Some of these I don't quite. I mean, they make sense, but they're kind of like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
Why do wizards like fireball so much?
Because it's a cantrip and they can cast it at will.
It's no, a well-rounded spell. Fireball is
not
a
cantrip, I guess. Oh, that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
It's also not a cantrip, but whatever.
And then I heard a stupid one on the radio driving home, and it was the guy really thought he was kind of funny. Why did the man fall down the well?
Because he saw his parents get shot in an alley.
No.
I'm trying to connect it to Batman.
Yeah, it was not Bruce Wayne. It's because he couldn't see that well.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm. What's up with those lime green shoes you have back there?
Unreleased dunks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Where'd you get those from?
I'm going to see if I can sell
them.
Oh. Wandering around, you know, you find some things. They're pretty cool. Apparently, they're going to come out in like the summer or whatever, but they're like glow in the dark.
Did you buy those?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
The Texas Soulmate guy, that's like the only mystery game I ever play because he doesn't have a super high amount of watchers. And the shoe is just a dunk, so the price is never super high in them.
Yeah.
But he was doing a mystery game with Lost and Founds the other day, so the prices were going a little bit more. And I was like literally one box off from the Lost and Found. But all I got were some like off-white socks.
Yeah.
But one of the packages I got from another mystery game just like got lost in the mail, and he sent me like extra stuff. So that's like how my bid on it, because I was like, well, I'll like do this mystery game that's a little bit more, because he sent me like free extra shorts.
Yeah. It's a way to get you back in.
Yeah.
So what did you end up doing this weekend?
I haven't had LaCroix in a while. Sorry, this is not related. But the last couple sparkling or water flavor drinks I've been getting are Waterloo, and they taste so much better than this. This is kind of sad.
Mm.
I didn't really do anything on Friday. And because I told them that I would game, and then none of them ever said they got online. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Are they not gaming? And then they just sent like an out of context gaming message. And I was like, well, it's already like 11, so not going to game. But yeah. I was like excited. Like I actually wanted to. So then it made me in a bad mood. So I watched some of the boys. I think I have like one episode or two episodes left. They were just at the Herogasm party.
Oh, God.
Saturday I just like did normal stuff, and then Sunday I graded for like 6 hours.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and I am gonna coach officially now, and we're having a coaches meeting on Sunday at 1, and I'm kind of annoyed by that because that's not what I want to do on Sunday, and I don't know how come we're not just doing it like after school.
Yeah,
she asked if we wanted to do it Friday night or Sunday. Like, what kind of options are those? Like, yeah. I have a life.
Yeah, those aren't very fun.
Yeah. Oh, I just almost pulled my nose ring out. Get back in there.
Well, be careful.
Yeah.
I went and worked out of the Meridian office on Friday. I'd mm-hmm. never, like, been to the new fancy building.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, and it was, like, pretty... I mean, it's a cool building, obviously, but, dude, I swear, like, no one works in the office anymore. It's like they just got this fancy building, and since it happened like during the pandemic, it's like half the people don't even show up anymore. Oh. And I guess it doesn't help that I was there on a Friday, so even the people that were there mm-hmm. were like gone by lunch.
Yeah,
but I kind of like our office, because you know each person actually has a physical office.
Yeah,
but over there they're just like straight cubicles everywhere, which is okay, but they like decided to do the top partition of the cubicle as just glass, so it's like you're in a fishbowl and everyone can just like look and watch you all the time. It's like
kind of weird. You can't even pick your nose.
No, you can't. But they do have like fancy standing desks at every cubicle, which is pretty sweet.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so I hung out there, had a good time, went to a couple breweries with the friends down there, and watched children. Holy cow, those children, man. They are they're a handful. And then mm-hmm. Ethan brought his kids too, so there were four of them running around all crazy like, so it was pretty, there was never a dull moment.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. So much energy.
Yeah. I've just been looking at things I want to buy but shouldn't.
It's generally how it goes.
I mean, I did find those golf clubs are like literally so much cheaper on Amazon, which I was surprised by. But
yeah,
like over $100 cheaper, like $133 cheaper.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I guess I have all of your birthday present, but I need to get something for Cheyenne. So.
Yeah, I think I got Cheyenne some stuff for like, you know, the day of, just like local here. But I think when we go to Seattle, we're going to go to IKEA and we'll get some stiff.
Nice.
Yeah, it'd be exciting.
I keep wanting to go to IKEA but then not wanting to spend money, so I haven't been going.
Yeah,
or I mean there's only been like two opportunities, but
it's kind of rare you get all the way over there.
Yeah, but I do need a different desk. Maybe I should actually this time look at that.
Let's bite the bullet. I mean, you can get a decent one for like $100, right?
Yeah, if you can get the ones that you put the legs on yourself, they're pretty cheap.
Hmm.
But I want to go to Sneaker Con. And I actually think the podcast we're going to is in the Moore Theater. Is that where yours is?
I think mine's in the Paramount.
Oh, I've been to a concert there. That's like more in the SoDo district, right?
Or sure.
Which one's the Paramount? Is the Paramount? No. Is the Paramount the one? Oh, no. The Paramount? Is that the one in the UW district. I think so. I think that's where, and that's why we drank was last year. So like more north.
Yeah.
But the Moore Theater has hotel rooms like above it.
Nice.
And when I looked last night, they still had some available and they were the same price as the other hotel I was going to book. So I was like, well, I'm just going to book these. I didn't have my card upstairs with me though, so I need to do it today. Because the one we stayed in last year was just like 2 blocks away, so it was like a really quick walk. But if we could just like stay at the theater, that'd be cool.
Yeah, don't have to go very far at all.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah. It's pretty exciting, I guess. I wonder if it's haunted.
I mean, you could probably claim anywhere is haunted if you tried hard enough.
I feel like they've covered a theater in Seattle. But anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting.
I don't know. Yeah, I need to work on Jackie's dude also, because she might hang out with us when we go. Oh. So I should try to have it done.
Yeah.
I haven't worked on it at all. It's in the same level of painted that it was before Christmas.
Solid.
I think mostly because I'm dreading doing the glow of the flame on his body.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Probably a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I'm not excited. But I am excited that I laid out all my paints. I know I said that last time, but I'm very excited by that. And also, I moved my WSU cape from the door so that it was covering those things because it was bothering me.
What does your cape have on it? Is it stained?
No. One time, Bailey borrowed it without asking and wore it to a bonfire.
Oh, so it's burned.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I was really annoyed. He asked if he could borrow it once and I let him, but then he borrowed it again and he wore it to a fire.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I suppose that makes sense.
Yeah. And I got that for free before a game, so it's not like I paid for it, but I literally had it for like 7 years before he borrowed it with no damage coming to it, and then he borrowed it.
And that's all it took.
Yeah. Yep. Nice. Yep. Ooh, the Moore Theater is haunted. It's the oldest theater. I almost feel like I listened to a podcast where they talked about this. Now I don't know if I want to stay there.
So haunted.
I went to a podcast at it last year.
But it was busy. You're fun.
Yeah, but I didn't sleep in the building.
Oh, is it only haunted in the sleep?
I don't know. The whole thing is probably haunted. Like, ghosts can walk through walls, Scott. And I'm seeing a spooky podcast there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
Did you see that somewhere in Idaho, coyotes were chasing skiers and one person got bit?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. I don't know what resort it was at.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. Oh, it was at Schweitzer.
Oh. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Nothing quite like a... Wow, I was like watching these shoes in an auction that's getting over right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are up to $1,000.
Dang, what are they?
Well, if they're real, they're like original, like the same shoes I got, just in the Chicago colorway.
Oh, instead of the... Wait, which colorway was yours?
Bread.
Oh, yeah. I am... Man, every shoe that I like really want is like $800. Like when I saw those Gibson guitar ones, I was like, why have I never heard of these? And why don't I own them? Yeah, but there's like no eights. I couldn't find any size eight. I could maybe do a half size up in Dunks because my mind fit. Like I have them tied loose, like really loose, and they fit. You know what I mean? Like I would just have to tie them a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
But then those Sean Weatherspoon 97s, which have no meaning to me that it's that guy. I just really like them. Like I would wear those all the time. Like I just like the colors of them. Those are like at least $800. Like everything I like is like $800.
Expensive, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know why I got your present so early, because now I have to like keep it for a month and a half and I just want to like give it to you.
Now you gotta sit on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tash goes.
Hashtag YOLO, I guess.
Oh, yeah. But,
yeah. This guy's streaming right now with his shorts.
Look at that. Look at all those shorts.
Yeah. I try not to do Mr. I literally don't do Mr. Games other than his, so, because I don't know. But sometimes I'll, like, get in on a small stream, and I'm like, oh, if I do this Mr. Game, I have more of a chance of, like, getting the shoe for cheaper because, like, the box is, like, are going for like less than $20.
Yeah.
But then I'll just like watch these guys, like no one will bid on the mystery game. And sometimes they're like not even in the screen. And I'm like, you need to like interact better with people because
do like, something.
Yeah. Like it's kind of boring, you know?
Yeah, for real.
Or have less spots on your mystery game. Cause some of them have like 30 spots and not very many streamers. So, or I mean, watchers.
Yeah.
But I think you should stream and I'll be your mod. And I actually have that box of stuff by the door I need to get rid of. And I went through it and I was like, oh, I have some like name brand clothes. Maybe I'll just list those on eBay while I'm in a listing things on eBay kick.
There you go.
But I haven't felt like taking pictures yet. So
yeah,
I haven't done it, but I'm just surprised that those foam posits have more views than the brand new shoe.
It's like a lot of people just troll on there for used stuff, it seems like.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I didn't realize foam posits, like pretty much all of them have, I mean, they're expensive, but then almost all of them are more than retail. They're heavy though. I didn't know they were going to be that heavy. I took them out of the box and I was like, yikes.
Yikes, bro. Huh.
Yeah. Anyways, we're talking a lot about stuff that's all over the place. I'm really tired. I didn't make a coffee because I already had an energy drink and a coffee this morning, so I felt like I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm just pretty tired, and this LaCroix is not cutting it.
Not cutting it. And we're just going to continue our talks about Vox Machina, right?
Hell yeah, bitch. I watched it on Monday, so it's not quite as fresh anymore, but
yeah. Well, remind the good people where we left off.
Well, when we left off, Vex had just been dead.
She'd been deadified.
They messed with the traps. They weren't supposed to. Vax was down in a little thingy, looking at a weird thing, and then they were like, you better come up here. And there's a bunch of commotion. She's just laying there on the stone.
Just dead.
Yeah. And there was lots of flashbacks in that episode to their childhood and why they are the way they are. And I did actually read the first like two chapters of that book.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah. Because I finished the Slaughterhouse 5 the other day.
Fancy. You're actually finishing books.
I finished a book in January, which was my goal. So.
Wow. I'm getting some ketchup books.
No, I don't have any books about ketchup, but I do have a book about coffee.
Oh, well, I mean, Slaughterhouse 5.
I've been making a lot of jokes today at school. I was making jokes about like, probably didn't make sense, but did you read it?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to make sense of it, but
okay, just back up really quick and let me tell the story.
Oh gosh, okay.
So I was teaching about working thesis statements because I'm having them write their very first draft of their thesis statement in their research project. So we're going over like what a working thesis statement is and what the point of it is. And like the big three parts of a working thesis statement is that they're meant to evolve. So like your thesis statement shouldn't just be like concrete the whole time. It's supposed to be flexible. So like your ideas might change. And the main thing was just that it's subject to change, like it's going to change or whatever. Right. And so then when I was explaining it, I was like, yeah, like, your thesis statement should evolve just like your Pokemon evolve, you know? And then I was like, your thesis statement should also be flexible, and like Pokemon like fight each other. So like they need to be flexible, like, you know, like gymnastics. And then the subject to change one didn't make sense. But then I was like, yeah, maybe they'll just randomly go from a grass Pokemon to a fire Pokemon. And my students were like, what? And some of them are really like not into Pokemon either. So they were following along a little bit. And then as soon as I said that, I was like, honestly, my friends would be like so disappointed in me for saying something so stupid. And then I was like, my Pokemon knowledge is like all the way down here. And my friend's Pokemon knowledge is like all the way up here. And my students were like, yeah, miss, kind of same. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah. And then there was one time where I was talking to them about, cause this is my 12-person class. So like it gets a little off the rails. It's also 6-hour. And I've had a lot of these students like 2 to 4 times where I was like, yeah, I watched like really weird shows when I was little because my sisters were a lot older than me and like I never got to pick. We had like 1 to 2 TVs, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like explaining to them what Walker Texas Ranger was. And They also didn't know that Chuck Norris was a real person. I think they thought that Chuck Norris was a character or something.
Yeah.
But I showed them like the trailer where it does the theme song, like "When the Eyes of a Ranger Are Upon You," like that. I don't know if you've. Anyways,
no.
And then I was like, yeah, when we were in elementary school, like everyone was like outside at recess with their Pokemon cards, and I was just talking about Walker Texas Ranger. And they thought that was funny. They were like all laughing. I've just been full of jokes today. And then I was like, I know I'm teaching right now, guys, but I need to type this up and send it to my friends like right now so that I don't forget. But then I think I typed it up so fast that it didn't really make sense when I typed it.
And also, like, what the fuck is wrong with you with that last picture that you sent? Like, are you like
that was on Reddit
mentally disturbed?
And that was on Reddit, and that was that one true god is the Nicolas Cage subreddit. And I think that someone posted it there because those all kind of look like Nicolas Cage to some extent or something. Like, I was like, I have to send this to someone because that really looks like big dicks in a bowl bucket.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and those guys are wearing like spandex underwear.
So now we know what Kendra looks at in her spare time generally.
Listen, I was just browsing the main page of Reddit. Okay.
That's always how it starts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyways, back to Vex being dead on the rocks.
Oh yeah. She was dead and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'll do a quick summary.
Yeah, do a summary, bitch.
They're
trying to save her, though.
They try to save her. And I mean, in this episode, there's a lot. There's more flashbacks, too, about like their childhood and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's shown that like at one point, Vex was like captured in like some kind of poacher's bandit camp or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like
it showed how she got Trinket.
Yeah. So there she was like trapped there. And then Vex comes and saves her. And, you know, they're still pretty young at this time. I'm sure they're probably like late teens or something, if I had to guess. And yeah, he's able to free her, but then they find like a very injured and bleeding out bear, and you know, they show it kindness, and but it's very much going to die, so they put it out of its misery. And then they find it has a little bear cub in there. So that was them discovering Trinket, as he was named. So that gives a little backstory and how they were like kind of, you know, reunited after their little kerfuffle when they first ran away. So yeah, some more backstory. But all that's going on in the episode now is that like Cash has come back out with what the devil is her name, Zara. They come back out, discover her dead. And Zara's kind of like, I don't really care. I mean, it's not really our business.
Yeah, but
Cash is, but Cash is like, no, we got to help. And he's like, you know, I don't know what his class would be or whatever, but he seemed like the healer of the group.
Yeah, because him and Pike were kind of trying to work together.
Yeah.
To save her.
So he's able to come out. So Pike does not know any resurrection spells at this time, but he does. So they're trying to like work together and save her. But it's very tough because they're in like this temple to the goddess of death. So it's like going to be really hard to bring someone back to life. But this whole time, Vex is kind of in the background watching, you know, in horror as things.
And I feel like he's having like a twin moment too, where he's kind of like seeing things differently than.
Yeah,
they are. Because it also kind of shows like that string thing too.
Yeah, which I don't fully understand the string thing, because they also, if you watch the intro, it's connection. All over that too.
Yeah, it didn't really have the connection that I thought it was having, but.
Yeah, but he's watching, and then as he's watching them try to revive her, he sees the matron of Ravens, who is this goddess of death, in her temple, you know, slowly walk up and start to, like, you know, claim her, like, okay, she's going away now, this arriving thing isn't gonna work. And he basically offers his own life to her in exchange, and he's apparently the only person that can see her right now. And she severs this like invisible gold thread between Vex and Vax, and then
didn't really understand what that was doing.
I don't either. That's the part I don't understand.
Like, I don't know if that's going to have like a repercussion later or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that part I couldn't quite get because, you know, I've been like, you know, the threads of fate or some crap, but because it's all over.
It was giving me big like Hercules vibes.
Yeah, exactly. So she severs that.
Especially with the way she like plucked it.
Yeah. And then later on, he has like hallucinations where she's like pulling on it and like making him do stuff. So it's kind of like his, I guess his, like, you could still call it like a tether to destiny or whatever. That she has now, basically. So since he did that, Vex is able to come back to life. And Cash takes all the credit for that. He's like, oh, yeah, I had to save you. No, I do what I can. I'm a good guy.
And Zara's kind of mad at him for saving
him. Yeah, Zara's like, ugh, we've wasted all this time. Oh, and then when she comes to life, all of a sudden, Vax has on the Deathwalker's ward, which is the thing that killed her.
And that's the thing that they like wanted or whatever.
That is the vestige that they were looking for. So now Zara is mad because she's like, well, now he has it. It's like on him. What are we going to do? You know? But basically that was the matron or raven saying, okay, this is going on you and you're going to kind of be tied to me and be my champion forever. Buckle up. Yeah. So Zara is very much still of the like mind to be like, okay, how can we still betray these guys and get this suit and get the heck out of here? So as they're leaving, Zara summons an uncontrollable monster out of her little Pokeball, for lack of a better term. Basically, keeps a monster in this vessel and she unleashes it on them.
She's a bitch.
She's a bitch.
They like hid from them too.
Yeah, they like hit up on the rafters and they're like, oh, we're going to get him. I mean, Cash, to his credit, is just like, why are we doing this?
He seems a little over her right now.
Yeah, he's over her. He's like, you can tell he's like a good guy.
He's just staying with the wrong crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his name is Cash. Like, he's a cowboy.
He's as close as we're going to get to a cowboy.
John Wayne, you know?
Yeah. So this monster like starts wreaking havoc and it can turn people into stone. So it starts turning everyone in the party into stone. And while this big ruckus and fight is going on, Vax starts having these weird like trance visions. So he's like hallucinating battlefields and he's like fighting the matron of Raven's previous champion, Pervan. And in this hallucination, he's just basically getting his ass kicked. Like, pretty bad, you know, fingers broken, he like snaps his ankle and this guy's just like beating him down. Eventually Vax in the hallucination just gives up and he's like, all right, if it's my time to die, it's my time to die. And it turns out that was the key. Accepting death is like what activates his new armor, so he gets all the powers out of it, which basically makes him like so fast that it looks like he's teleporting around. And like, I don't know, it's kind of like in Elden Ring when you get like the swift step or the bloodhound step and you can go, you know, like skirt around a lot. So at this time, everyone else is pretty much turned into stone, but he has gained the armor's power. Cash goes around healing people, taking them out of stone and protecting them. And then he is able to single-handedly destroy the monster. So he kills it. And I don't know.
Googled Cash Cowboy because I was like, oh, maybe there's like a famous cowboy named Cash, because like I just feel like that's a cowboy name.
You're probably just thinking of Johnny Cash.
There's a 2002 like 57-minute drama called Cash Cowboy, directed by Seamus Murphy, which also sounds familiar, about a man down on his luck who turns to counterfeiting and money laundering to turn his life around. And Seamus Murphy has only produced six things, so I don't know why his name sounds familiar. And then there's also a 2017 TV series called Cash Cowboys about the Whoas, who are a family of Colorado cowboys that reclaim damaged land across the country using their farming roots. They combine faith and an entrepreneurial spirit to build a family of American workers saving the landscape.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Now you know.
It kind of sounds like what's the Cash Cab? It reminds me of that.
Yeah, a Cash Cab.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. That had nothing to do with what we were talking about.
Get sidetracked on the name. If you had to guess what the heck that monster was in it, what do you think it was? Is it like a Gorgon or something?
The monster in what? Well, no, I meant which monster. But the red spirally thing.
Yeah, the one that's turning everyone into stone.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
I didn't know if they had like Gorgons or if they did turn people into stone, but I only thought that because of like Medusa and, you know, like Greek mythology type stuff.
Yeah, there is some Medusa like stuff. So, but that Medusa. Also was a, like red and spindly.
Yeah, it had, like tentacles or whatever.
Yeah. But let's see. That's episode five. Four.
Four. Four, yeah. Yeah, so he does end up killing it successfully and they're able to get out of there
and they undo everyone.
Yeah, Cash unstones everybody, unpetrifies, depetrifies, however you want to say it.
Wait, did you already say that it killed her?
Did it
kill her or did it just hurt her?
Kill who?
Zara.
It just turned her into stone like everyone else.
Oh, yeah. Did he undo her, too? I can't
remember. Yeah, he undoes everybody.
I would have left her, honestly. She's a bitch.
So they are all able to get out as the place is, like, collapsing down, basically. Zara does apologize, and her and Cash leave the group. They're like, all right, you know what? You got the vestige, apparently. You're worthy because you can use it, so we're not going to try to take it from you anymore. And he basically, they tell Vex that, hey, your bounty and whatever problems you had with us are gone now. So, hooray. We can maybe be friends again one day. And she also gives Vex her little Pokeball thing that doesn't have a monster in it anymore because it's dead. So mm-hmm. She's like, here you go, do something with this. Have fun. So, towards the end of this episode, Vax sees more visions of the matron taking the soul of a dying man in his, like, farmhouse.
Oh, I think it might have just been a beholder.
Oh.
Like, a weird version things? Of one. Because, yeah, it says that certain eyes have different things, and one of them is to transmute flesh to stone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably, then. Interesting. So, yeah, he sees this soul being taken and just all these like weird visions. You know, he's seeing death happen. He's seeing places that he's not at and just crazy stuff that the matron of Ravens is showing him. And he does tell his sister that, you know, I'm seeing things. I don't know what the heck's going on. Shit's weird right now. And that's pretty much where that episode ends. So the next one is kind of what primarily is Keyleth backstory. So we get to learn a little bit more about her. The episode opens up on her mom leaving for her spirit quest or her Aramente. I don't know if that's what the spirit quest. I don't know what they do on it. But it shows her leaving and then leaving her father and herself alone.
I'm pretty sure that what they're doing is protecting like gates to other like planes of existence, because in this is one of the few things that they, because like all the Critical Role campaigns take place in like the same world, just different years apart. So I think Vox Machina is like 30 years ahead of the first campaign. And so they kept trying to know, like, they wanted to know what happened to their characters, basically. And I don't think this is a spoiler to say, but when Keyleth's mom leaves, she never comes back.
Right.
Like, they never see her again. And they actually, like, found her mom in the second campaign. Mm,
got it.
Yeah. So that was interesting. She ended up on, like, some weird, like, misplaced island kind of sort of thing. I don't know how else to explain it. But,
well, it almost seems like.
So I think what they're doing is almost like kind of gatekeeping these different places that can take you to other places. I think.
Well, it almost seemed like, I mean, we'll get to it more at the end of this episode, but it almost seemed like they're going to like master elements, because at the end they were like, okay, you've mastered fire. So now you have earth and water left. Have fun, because she was already air.
Yeah.
Which is very like Avatar: The Last Airbender type thing.
their tribe guards the portal to the plane of air.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So it shows her mom going away. And then kind of snaps to the present where, you know, they're making camp, they're doing things. Grog notably is off taking a shit. And then he is discovered to be alone, just talking to his sword, that creepy craven edge that wants blood all the time and it wants him to be fed. So it's like slowly whittling away at Grog just by being around.
Oh, I looked up what the Aramonte is.
Mm-hmm.
It says once in every generation in each of the four tribes. So air, fire, earth, wind.
Mm-hmm. Air, fire, earth, water.
Yeah. A member is chosen to set out on an Aramonte or noble odyssey. During this journey, this Ashari member seeks out each of the other tribes and ventures through the portals they guard. Upon completion of this journey, the empowered Ashari member's lifespan increases significantly and becomes the elemental master of their respective tribe, and the elder retires. So her mom was chosen to be the elder and was set off to master the other four things so that she could come back and be like the
right leader. Yeah. Okay. So that is what technically Keyleth is doing, or she's supposed to be doing as well. Mm-hmm. So they are noted to be very close to Pyra, which is where the fire people of her tribe or her race live. I don't know what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
So they decide that they're going to go there kind of begrudgingly. She basically decides she is going to go there and they follow because mm-hmm. they're like, oh yeah, I guess
I didn't really know. Couldn't figure out if I missed it or if they just decided that because they were done with the thing they were doing. Like I wasn't sure how we got to that point.
Basically, well, you know, Vax is all like super emo now that he has his armor. And he's basically
was a little bit already.
Anyway. Yeah. And he's basically like, no, we're going to get the next thing. We're just doing our thing. We're not going to help your people or whatever. And then she gets really angry and just turns into a bird and leaves. And then they are all like, oh, yeah, we're kind of assholes. Maybe we'll go help. And they all follow her. So that's how they get there. And when they get there, you know, things are obviously like hitting the fan. The volcano that's supposed to be dormant is going crazy. They're like flying fire monsters everywhere trying to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Which
and
is,
they
you know,
got a broom somehow.
They actually stole that. Well, they didn't steal it. They took it from what's his face's place when the whole. When they were collecting all those artifacts.
Yeah, Gilroy.
Yeah. Yeah, Gilroy. That was his name. So they've had that for a while because that was the only thing Scanlan could find. He was like, oh, whatever. I'll just take this. Keyleth is able to find her father here, coincidentally, as well as Allura and Kima, who were in Iman when the dragons hit and were able to use magic to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some backstory given on, you know, this fireplane rift, and it turns out that is where the leader of the dragons that are out right now, Thordak, that's where he was originally held. He was like kind of sealed away in there, but he had escaped, and that is why the rift is torn open and all these like monsters are just free to come in and kill people. So they're doing their best to like close the portal back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I guess they're technically fire elementals, all those things, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So they're all doing their thing, fighting, trying to stay alive. The whole time, Grog's sword is getting angry at him because he's cutting up these monsters, but they're just made of fire and lava. So they don't have any blood.
Oh, yeah, and his sword talks to him and stuff.
Yeah, and it's like...
They all have all these cursed weapons, and they're all being... You know, making deals with bad guys or whatever.
Yeah. It's, you know, generally not
good. A lot of negative energy going on.
Yeah. If your sword's telling you, like, you know, feed me blood or I'll, like, kill you, basically.
I mean, I tell myself that.
If you drink blood?
What?
What? What?
I'm not a vampire.
Oh, okay. So they're struggling, and Keyleth and her father are trying to close the portal, and he's like, you should be really good at this. You're like on your Aramente or whatever. You should be powerful enough to help. But she's nervous. She can't really do it. She does flashback to her mom, basically saying, you know, fire can only hurt you if you let it. You know, we're powerful. And she is able to kind of channel that, walk through the rift into the fire plane where all this bad stuff's happening. And she like kind of turns into this like giant fire thing, like a fire beast. And she's able to wipe out all of the elementals on both sides of the portal. And then when she walks back through, the portal closes. So she was able to successfully close it. And that has shown her mastery of fire. So they are like, you know, they give her that little ceremony. They're like, you have mastered fire. You got the other two elements left.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Wow, that's, I didn't even look at my notes, but that's literally what it says. It says she transforms into a giant fire being.
Oh, yeah, look at you.
They bless her mastery. Allura and Kima stay behind to continue helping the Ashari rebuild, but they will then head to Whitestone after. So I didn't know this person's name until I started doing these notes, but it says Anna Ripley, using a magical orb, has been observing their actions. So that was that character at the end being like, okay, you know, here you go. This new character informs Umbrasil, the acid dragon. He has conquered Westron and like has the people of it basically giving him gold now. She tells the dragon, oh, you know, Vox Machina, they're getting these vestiges and they're like actually going to try to take you down. So she has basically sold them out at this point, and that's kind of where the episode ends.
Mm-hmm. This is just me going off on a deep end, but I'm pretty sure that the Ashari is just like Critical Role's take on druid circles, because in like Wizards of the Coast D&D, there's like all these different circles of druids, like Circle of Moon, Circle of Fire, Circle of whatever. And I think that this is just kind of like their take on that, because it's not a race, it's like a job. Like if you look it up, like Ashari's not a race. Yeah. And it's mostly druids, but other people who use nature magic as well. So I think it's like their own spin on like druid circles, but almost making it more, traditional is not the right word, but like traditional in the sense of just like the four elements instead of all of the other like smaller things that you can break a druid into.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. All right. So we're on to the last episode of the week of the fresh three drops. And this one we open up on Grog having terrible nightmares about killing all of his friends in the group to feed his sword. So not a great start. And the whole, their next goal is obviously following Vax's vision of where the next vestige is. They have this weird picture of a peak that's kind of in the distance, which is called Rhyme Cleft, I guess. So the group is heading there, and the goal is to find the Sphinx Osiris's mate. Should be there to give them the next clue for the next vestige. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, his name was hard too. It's like Kamala Giori. Oh. Kamala Giori.
Maybe that's how come I don't remember all the names.
Yeah, some of these are a little tough. So they are able to kind of like solve some visual puzzles and find a hidden passage into this mountain. And they do find him. They find the Sphinx. And he agrees to grant them more knowledge on the remaining vestiges if they are able to complete a challenge of their choosing. He gives them like three options, I think. And of the options, it was either, oh, one was like, what, 70 Gorgons or something? So like fight 70 Gorgons. There was one other thing. And then it was like, or inflict a single wound on me.
You know what's interesting is I watched the first two episodes and then I took a bath and then I watched the third episode and I feel like I remember hardly anything of the third episode that I watched.
Oh, this one right now?
Yeah, it's like I shouldn't have taken a bath. I should have just watched all three of them.
Kept your focus trained.
Yeah.
I
was just cold, so I was trying to warm up, you know?
Yeah, dude. A nice little bath to get yourself warm.
Yeah.
Gotta do it sometimes. They decide in their infinite wisdom to try to wound him. Because it sounds easy, you know. But this is like a mythical sphinx, so they don't really know what they're in for. Mm-hmm. The sphinx easily defeats all of them, except for Scanlan. Scanlan is the last one remaining. And he's like, well, obviously, I'm not going to be able to fight because everyone else just tried to fight and they couldn't do anything. They were like instantly thrown into a pit. So what he does in his version of trying to wound him is sing him a love ballad about his mate that he hasn't seen in like, you know, hundreds of years or something like that. So he uses his bard magic to like bring pictures of her up and, you know, laser light show for the Sphinx. A very heartfelt song about their love and their longing while separated. This emotionally wounds the Sphinx and he draws a tear, sheds a tear. So he's like, all right, you know, you succeeded. And he kept calling him like super. He's like, this is the wisest person I've ever met. Like to Scanlan. And everyone is like, what the fuck?
Maybe I think they literally said wise in a different way, you know?
Yeah. So they are all able to come back after being thrown in the pit and Scanlan and the Sphinx are just chilling. You know, he's like strumming on his little lute and they're just having a good time together. And they're like, what the heck just happened? This guy like basically destroyed us all. And you guys are just buddies now. So he gives Scanlan the Myth Carver Vestige, which is a sword that, if I'm understanding how he explained it right, shows you locations of mythical items and like legendary things, basically. So he's like, you can use this to find the rest of the vestiges. It'll show you where they are. So Scanlan holds it up and they see the location of the next one. It's in some weird magically place where waterfalls flow up instead of down. And like, you know, it looks like an acid trip. So it turns out to be a bow hidden here, which is a place called the Fey Realm, I guess. Mm-hmm. He also sees a pair of gauntlets with the Goliaths, so Grog's race in Westron. These visions, before he can get much further, are disrupted by Umbrasyl, the acid dragon's surprise attack on them. He did not expect there to be a Sphinx there, however, so they are able to kind of put up somewhat of a fight against him. The Sphinx and the dragon go kind of head on head. They're similar size. They both got, you know, crazy powers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
In the battle, though, the dragon eventually wounds the Sphinx and takes the Myth Carver from Scanlan. And the Sphinx kind of sacrifices himself to save Scanlan by catching him from a great height and then taking the fall himself, basically. Yeah, not good. During this time, Keyleth is preparing a spell so that they can transport to the Fey Realm to go to the next area. But, you know, they're trying to buy her time. It's obviously chaos because, you know, the room is collapsing, the mountain shaking. But Grog has now been consumed by his sword's bloodlust because the sword tasted a little bit of dragon blood. And now that's all he has focus on, is just trying to get more blood out of this dragon, trying to kill the dragon. Even when they're trying to leave, he just won't stop. To get him to try to stop, Pike intervenes. And then in his bloodlust, he impales her, which mm-hmm. luckily snaps him out of the bloodlust. But then all of a sudden, he's got a little dwarf on the end of his sword. Problem. He's able to pick her up, retreat to the group, and Keyleth is able to finish her spell. But the dragon disrupts it long enough to split the party. So only Keyleth, Percy, and Vex and Vax successfully make it to the Fey Realm, where the next vestige is, while Scanlan, Pike, and Grog are sent, we don't know where. We don't get to see it. So they are split up, which is unfortunate because, you know, Keyleth is the healer and she's not going to be with Pike. So that's going to be a problem. And that's where we have to have our cliffhanger for the week is waiting to see what happens. Yeah. People keep dying, near death experiences, hopefully a nice little revive here and there. But yeah, I guess what you think about the episodes this week?
I'm just really confused about how I remembered so much from the first two and then pretty much nothing from the third one except for five. And I do remember like Pike being dead, but like I literally don't remember like anything else about that episode.
Interesting.
It was like later, like I was tired. I don't know.
Yeah. Are we tooling on your phone or something?
Maybe.
Yeah. But no, I think, I mean, things continue to be good. They're good episodes. They're pretty good about, you know, three episodes cliffhanger, make you wait a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it is nice to have the three to watch at once because you get like, you know, an hour of a show.
Pretty yeah, because cool. Otherwise it'd only be like 20 minutes a week and that's pretty sad.
Yeah, they'd really be feeling short if they did that. And did you say are they doing 12? Is that how many they're doing?
I think so, yeah.
I guess that is how many they did the first season. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're 4 out of 12. Or no, 6 out of 12, I mean.
50% of the way, bitches. Oh, man.
They're going to have a lot to do between now and then. Even though I'm assuming they're just probably going to... I don't think they'll be able to beat all the dragons in this unless they really rush it.
Yeah, because that'd be a lot in the last 6. I don't know.
Yeah, what do they got? 4 dragons to get through, technically. They have, I'm assuming the way that they're setting it up, that each of them is going to find a vestige because what? Vax has the armor. Vex will have the bow when they find the bow. Grog will get the gauntlets when they get the gauntlets. And then Scanlan has the sword. So that's already 4. So they'll have a few more to find after that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I mean, I guess them's the episodes. Those are kind of short synopses, but...
Hell yeah.
You know it is what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty good. I just don't understand all those haters with their negative reviews after only watching, like, 3 episodes.
Yeah, and I still don't really get the cracks on the animation style, because I think it continues to be good.
Yeah, that was some weird stuff. These people be haters.
People just like to hate, you know? They gotta find something to complain about.
Yep, especially high schoolers.
Well, yeah.
Also, the reason why I was so cold on Monday and why I took a bath is because, well, I mean, I take a bath every day because I'm lazy. I don't feel like standing. But that's literally why. But some of the portables have been having issues with their heaters. Like, one of the other teachers, his portable was like 37 one day a couple weeks ago, and they had to move his classes.
Oh, wow.
And my heater hasn't been working as good as it was before. Like, it's almost like it doesn't work good overnight. Like, it'll be set to like 72, but when I come in, it'll be like 55 or something.
Mm.
But the other day when I came in, it was like 43 degrees, and like the air blowing out of the vents was like cold.
Wow.
And so they brought me space heaters, but usually it'll be colder in there in the morning, but it'll warm up pretty fast. Like by second hour, it'll be the temperature that it's set.
Mm-hmm.
But the last like 3 days, it hasn't gotten with closer than like 7 degrees of what I have it set to.
Yeah.
And when it's cold outside and you're coming in and out, like it doesn't feel warm.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it was 43, it didn't reach like 60s until like 1. And then today they took the space heaters out. So, like, even though it was warmer in there, as soon as they took the space heaters out, it dropped, like, 5 degrees in my portable.
Mm. Yeah. Dang cold. This is a good old second winter for you, though.
Yeah. But it's supposed to be, like, 50 this weekend, so.
Ooh, that's kind of nice. I'm probably going to come back this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah. I have to close my Bank of America bank account. They want to do it in person.
Why?
I mean, I don't have one over here.
That's true. But it's just like, why now? I guess is more of what I'm asking.
Well, because they had like a good offer to open another account. So I got like $600 for free.
Oh, you can buy shoes with that.
Exactly. So I figured why not? But that means I have to go there. They have to write me a cashier's check for my amount in there, zero it, close it. And then I have to put that into my new bank account. And I can't do it online. I tried to, and then they're like, then my new bank called me and they're like, you can't do this because you just opened your account. I was like, what? I was like, how am I supposed to put money in it? Like, what would I do? And they're like, well, you could write a check. And I was like, what? I was like, why is this the easiest way to do it? And they're like, you could write a check, but then I can't close my Bank of America account unless I go there in person and physically do that. So I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to go there. So I have an appointment at 10 on Saturday to go get that done.
Are you coming for both the nights?
Probably. I'll probably just be Friday.
Is Cheyenne coming?
She has not decided. I'm kind of thinking.
Okay, I need to know if I need her birthday present by this weekend or not.
Oh, well, I'll let you know. But right now, I think the lean is no because we just did, you know, a bunch of driving for Boise.
Yeah.
But
are you going to do your bumper?
I might. Yeah, I'll bring the 4Runner regardless, and I'll at least bring it back with me. But I need to get some of that. Do you have any that PB blaster?
Yeah, I think I have some left. I'll check.
If you have some, you should bring it because I need to squirt those and let them sit for. So if I had those, like maybe I'll grab them from you Friday and like spray it and let it sit overnight. Yeah,
I have plans on Friday, but if you're just grabbing something, that's fine.
Yeah,
or I could like, drop it off at your.
Yeah, if you're out and about and you just want to drop it off, that's perfect.
Heck yeah!
I mean, I can.
But we can hang out on Saturday because I don't think I'm. Well, we might go to Spokane, but now that I know I have a softball meeting, I don't really know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to spend my whole day not home when I'm not going to have Sunday to do this stuff, to do the stuff I normally do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll troubleshoot that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was probably my only plan is, you know, I'll hang out, maybe work on the 4Runner, maybe shampoo some seats and then finally get my bank stuff sorted out. So.
Heck yeah, bitch.
Yeah.
I guess this is a little bit shorter probably, but that's fine. I mean, we can't really read reviews every week. Maybe next week I'll see if there's some like midway point reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
See what the people are thinking.
Hell yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do you have anything to add? Final thoughts? Stuff like that?
I don't think there's really anything that hasn't been said. I like the way that they're doing, you know, we kind of get an episode dedicated to each person's kind of backstory so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we kind of went over Percy's and I forget who else we touched in the first season.
There was, I think, a little bit of stuff about Grog and Pike because it kind of went over them growing up together.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what else was super detailed.
Yeah, not a ton. So probably, you know, the first was mostly Percy, but now we're finally getting, you know, some of these other characters and mm-hmm. things we didn't really know about them at all. So that is nice. I do like that, you know, kind of learn a little bit each time.
Heck
oh,
yeah.
I did notice that in each of the credits as well, they're doing like a stylized, very specific one per episode. Like the last one, the one for Keyleth had like Keyleth's backstory in the credits in like, you know, stained glass style type of.
Oh, I don't think I pay attention to the credits. I probably just like go to the next episode.
So that was pretty cool. I noticed they were doing a different one for each episode. So that's more work on them. So pretty neat though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, all you fine folks can like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, download the episodes, leave us a rating and a review. Follow us on our socials at 5MMPOD. Send us an email to 5FIVEMoreMinutesPod@gmail.com and share us with your friends and family, your friends who are your family and your family who's more like friends and family.
Yeah, I guess do all that and we'll leave you a little short and clock out until next time.
Bye.
Bye.